I want to begin here today by just quoting from a book by Jim May. The title of the book is "Living at His Place," and he asks a question in that book. In the introduction of that book, he says, "Where are you orbiting?" And in that book, he makes some thought-provoking statements, and I'm just going to read you a number of them here as we open up here today. He writes, "Somewhere, Christianity turned into a self-seeking religion rather than a Christ-centered walk. Churches are often chosen for what they can give." How many know that? That sometimes we select churches because they offer certain things. He said his message is a call to create new paradigm shift from self to God as the true center of life. The Spirit of God is calling his people back to his heart. We can't be in self and in God at the same time. And he also said, believers may not realize it, but even as believers, we are either centered in self or centered in God. There is no alternative. Either God is the center of our universe and we have become rightly adjusted to him, or we have made ourselves the center and we are attempting to make all else orbit around us. So I just want to kind of head in a direction where we were kind of answering these two questions. How do I remain in right orbit, and how do I get back to being in the right orbit? So we're going to go to John chapter 1 here today. He says there in John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of the natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, 'This is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known.'" Father, we just ask in these next few moments that you just kind of use me as a vessel today to speak your word. I pray that, Lord, as we're in this place, as we're preparing to take communion, Lord, that we will examine ourselves here today. Lord, that we find ourselves in the right orbit, that we're orbiting around you. And so, Father, we once again ask the Holy Spirit, we give him permission today to move as he will today. Because, Lord, he moves all the time, but, Lord, we sometimes do not give him the permission to speak into our lives as he wishes. And so, Lord, today we open up ourselves and we say, Lord, here are we. Lord, we're asking you to do and to speak as you will. And we pray in your name, amen. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus declared to his followers, "You are the light of the world." Hallelujah. We know that. But Jesus made a declaration later on in John saying that it all began with him. He said in John chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." In John chapter 9, verse 5, he said, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John the Baptist realized that he was not the light. He has come to testify of the light. And so he understood that he was the lesser of the lights. And so, as we know, the sun is far brighter than the moon, right? In fact, the moon is a reflection of the light from the sun. And it is said that the sun illumination is 400,000 times the light that we receive from the moon. So John understood his role. He was just reflecting the light. We read there in that scripture, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he came as a witness testifying concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, but he came only as a witness to that light. Isn't that what the moon is? It is a witness to the light of the sun. And so John was the moon, and he was orbiting the sun, the S-O-N, not the S-U-N here today. And we know as believers that there is waxing and waning in our life, just like the moon waxes. At times it seems like it appears to be bigger. It's a quarter moon, half a moon, full moon, new moon. We understand that. We also know that there is a waning, right, process, that when it hits full moon, it begins to decrease in what appears to be its size. And so we understand here today in our relationship with Christ, if we were honest, we know that there is some waxing and waning going on in our life. And so we need to be sure where we are orbiting, that we are orbiting Jesus Christ. So Jesus was the light source for John. He understood that today. And he is the light source for us here this morning. We read in verse 4, in him was life, and that life was what? The light of all mankind. Verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So it is Jesus' life in us that makes our lives shine. That makes sense, right? Very easily understood. So when it comes to orbiting, we know that the moon orbits around the earth and the earth orbits around the sun. And we can conclude that both the moon and the earth orbit around the sun, right? It is a divine design. It is something that God set in place in the beginning. So in the beginning of our relationship, when we come to Jesus Christ, we need to understand that we are continually to be orbiting around the person of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus came, he introduced a new covenant. He was introducing a new paradigm. He was kind of shaking it up a little bit. And we know that the Old Testament talks about the law. And the law is man-centered. It is based on rules and regulations. And so what we find out is that we can wane by following rules and regulation, right? We can be so busy doing the right things that we're not in relationship with him. And so what we can find ourselves is waning in that relationship where we what fall into self-righteousness rather than into Christ's righteousness. So we need to be careful. And so the law came. Man was what? Following the rules. We know the story of their young rich ruler. Jesus said, have you kept the law? He said, yeah, I've done all these laws. But Jesus said what? You lack one thing. And we always kind of emphasize him giving up things. But how about if we emphasize the fact that he said, follow me. It's not what we give. It's what we do afterwards when we give. That we follow after Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, it says, this is a covenant. I'm going to put the word new in there. This is a new covenant, not written of laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. So the law was what? More man-centered than probably God-centered. But Jesus comes along and says, it's all centered around me. And we read those scriptures. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. How many understand that scripture? That's one of those mouthfuls that we kind of just glide over. I kind of looked at it, and it's like, I have no idea what that verse is saying there in verse 16. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. And so another translation says this, from his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. Sounds better, doesn't it? A little bit more understood. And verse 17 says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So the sun that we are orbiting here this morning is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. We read there, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made, without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. We get our life from him, and that life was the light of all mankind. So Jesus is the fulfillment of what could be accomplished by the law. So let's kind of refocus here. Back to the original question. Where are you orbiting this morning? And I believe this is a trustworthy statement. He came to save us from our sins. You agree with that one? But can I also add, he came to save us from ourselves. He came to save us from ourselves. So I kind of looked up, what would happen if the earth kind of moved in its orbit? And it says on Google, of course, the earth would be doomed even with a small change in its orbit. A minor change in the Earth's orbit around the sun could cause planets to collide or throw off the Earth's delicate position with Jupiter. So that one I didn't understand. I still don't understand. I didn't research that, why we wouldn't crash into Mars or one of the other planets. But it says Jupiter. And it wasn't just in one place. It was in multiple places. It also could mean disaster for our planet, as the equilibrium between the sun and the Earth would be disturbed, and our planet would crash into the sun. Kind of sounds like bad news. So any change, even if minor, in our orbiting around Jesus could cause us to place ourselves in undesirable positions, situations. Amen? We open ourselves by giving place to the enemy, do we not? So I would like to read something here to you. And I'm afraid to say, close your eyes. Joe's eyes are already closed. But I just want you to listen to what I'm saying. And it is time to get back with Jesus alone. And so just think about what I'm reading here this morning. Kind of block out everything else that's going around, the snoring and the eating and the drinking beside you. Amen. And just, I'd hate to say listen to my voice, because you might be hypnotized and then we'd take an extra offering. Probably be the best offering we ever got. But it is time to get back to Jesus with Jesus alone. Okay, are you ready? Here we go. When you can't figure out whether to sit at his feet, walk in the manner worthy of his call, stand in battle, or run the race with diligence, it is time to get back with Jesus alone. When you can't even remember the 22 characteristics of a good wife or husband, the 7 steps of appeal to authority, the 8 things to do when you are worried, or the 9 ways of love, it is time to get back with Jesus alone. When the proof of authority is, they say, and they say, have faith, just trust, let go, and let God. And they say, just find the sin and repent. And they say, just love, have joy, receive peace, and pray. And you can't even figure out who they are. It's time to get back with Jesus alone. When your pastor says, hear the word, read the word, mark the word, memorize the word, study the word, and meditate on the word, and you're lost in the middle of Leviticus or Revelation, and Jeremiah is just too much, it is time to get back with Jesus alone. When you hear testimonies of others raising the dead, praying all night, fasting 40 days, and leading thousands to the Lord, and memorizing huge chunks of the Bible, and you hear it through someone who hasn't done any of it, and they expect you to do it, and you feel guilty and obligated, it's time to get back to with Jesus alone. When you hear, have faith, work hard, repent, conquer, overcome, suffer, give sacrificially, evangelize, make disciples, wait on Him, walk in Him, pick up your cross, claim your possessions, and pray, and you feel pulled 10 different directions on a religious rack, it's time to get back with Jesus alone. When you're getting a mountain of requests in the mail to give to WBT, BG, TBN, CBN, CMA, CCC, BOM, LCMI, CFNI, CORE, YWAM, Youth for Missions, 700 Club, PTL Club, and Health Club, CBS, ABC, YXC, it's time to get back with Jesus alone. When you can't figure out whether to wash the dishes, do the laundry, have a quiet time, change a diaper, mow the grass, or read, it's time to get back with Jesus alone. When it is running in the car to soccer, volleyball, softball, basketball, handball, football, or just plain ball, and you feel like the road is your home, it's time to get back with Jesus alone. When your critics have watched religious TV all week and expect you to preach like Jimmy Swaggart, exercise faith like Kenneth Copeland, build glass monuments like Robert Schuller, heal like Andrew Womack, motivate like Joel Osteen, and you can't stand to watch any of them, it's time to get back with Jesus alone. When you're asked, how is your church going? And you know it means, ask me how it's going at my church. And you know you are about to hear about a huge explosion of numbers, miracles, tongues, radio broadcasts, seminars, dynamic preaching, a multitude of fantastic programs, and you feel like a failure, it's time to get back with Jesus alone. When you're overweight and feel like running by the mirror and people are suggesting spas, running, walking, jogging, cycling, swimming, Weight Watchers, triathlons, biathlons, and trampolines, and you're out of breath just thinking about it, it's time to get back with Jesus alone. When you've gone to the fifth conference this year that claimed this is it, and you tried it and it didn't work, and another guy left town with your $200, and you can't get hold of him to ask him why it didn't work, it's time to get back with Jesus alone. When opinions have become like belly buttons, everyone has one, and you're sick of inners and outers, square knots and granny knots, and you run into Proverbs 18:2 that reads, a fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own opinion, and you've been fooled. It's time to get back with Jesus alone. When you heard another, thus saith the Lord, that contradicted the last word of the Lord, that was contrary to the previous, the Lord told me, and you finally get the picture that the Lord is being dragged into things he never said, it's time to get back with Jesus alone. It's time to separate his commands from Christian demands. It's time to hear him speak the word personally to you. It's time to simplify. It's time for one step at a time. It's time to consider some lilies and birds. It's time for that secret place with him alone. Can I tell you one thing this morning? That's, he is it. If you don't get anything out of this message today, he is it. How many this is it have we been through? Getting that education, marrying that right person, getting the right job, making enough money, having your own home, making the right friends, attend the right church, experiencing the move of God, memorizing the right scriptures, being filled with the Holy Spirit, witnessing to others, discovering your ministry, your purpose, your calling. There will never be another it besides Jesus. Maybe we need to take a hard look at the book of Ecclesiastes. If you've ever read the book of Ecclesiastes, he has a favorite line in there, vanity is vanity, all is vanity. And I don't know if I really ever thought about it, but basically that book is nothing more than Solomon's testimony. Because Solomon had come to the end of all the its. He pursued wisdom. He pursued books. He pursued pleasures. He pursued success. And how many know he loved women? He pursued women. And he pursued projects. And none of those fulfilled Solomon. And he testifies to that fact. He said it's vanity. It was worthless. It was useless. And so this is what Solomon said at the end of his life in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. He said, that's the whole story. Or we could say here today, that's my testimony. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. But fear God and obey his commands. What's he saying? He orbited around everything, or he tried to get everything to orbit around him, but nothing was satisfying. But he came, I hope this is the testimony of his life. I hope this is the end of his life that he wrote this. I hope we will see Solomon in heaven. But this is our whole duty, is to orbit around Jesus Christ as believers here today. If the ushers will get ready to serve us communion here this morning. John began his gospel telling us that Jesus is it. That's what John chapter 1 is all about. Telling us that it's all about Jesus. We read there in John 1:14, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. He is what we are centered around. It is his light. We are only reflections of his light. He is the light that comes as we accept his life into our life. He is the center of the universe. And we are called to orbit around him. Paul said this in Athens as he was discussing with the Greek philosophers. He said, for in him we live and move and we have our being. So the question as we go into communion today, as Jesus said, remember what I did for you. But he's also saying, remember what he desires, a relationship with us, an unencumbered relationship, a relationship that's not competing with other things. So where are you orbiting this morning? Are you on course this morning? You may very well be. But this is an opportunity to kind of re-examine where you're at with him this morning and kind of determine, have I drifted a little bit? Have I grown a little bit cold? Have I become a little bit lax? So my main point here this morning is this. Like John the Baptist, I want to point you to Jesus this morning. Not everything that he offers, not all the gifts that he gives, but to him. John 1:15, John pointed him out to the disciples, and he shouted to the crowds, this is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming who is far greater than I, for he existed before I did. Today I want to point you to Jesus, who's far bigger than anything in this life. And I just want to tell you this morning, it's time to get back with Jesus alone. To recenter, to recalibrate here this morning. And to walk out of this building this morning knowing that you are where you need to be with Jesus Christ.